Welcome to the In Hope Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Preach.
And I'm Brandon. And each week we drop an episode to strengthen unity in the body of Christ.
We want you to be part of the conversation. So make sure you like, share, subscribe, and let's talk. Welcome to the In Hope Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about reasons you might not want to work with others in ministry, which is a little different because we're always encouraging. Yeah, we're always encouraging working with others. So this is our opportunity to bash some people.
That was just a hook. We're just trying to get you to watch. No, just kidding.
No, that's something that I have always tried to be very intentional about, especially within our podcast, like not naming and bashing specific people. So
yeah,
we're not gonna go there.
We'll blind bash some people.
But what's it called? But I think it is important as we encourage unity, and we usually have this strong emphasis on people really pushing past barriers, getting past themselves and
working together as the Big C Church.
Exactly.
So we're all on the same team.
Yeah. I think it's important to know or to recognize that isn't always just a blanket.
Yeah.
Anyone, everyone, you know, come one, come all. And we're going to, without even thinking about it. Exactly.
Because there's counterfeit.
There is. Yeah, absolutely.
And there's issues.
Yeah.
We're broken people.
Exactly.
And so some of those issues we need to work through.
Yeah.
And edify and get past, and other ones we might need to disassociate with.
Exactly. So when thinking about that, I kind of want to start off with reasons I've heard others not want to work with others.
Okay.
Some of the ones that we may have spoken against already on the podcast, and some I'm sure we have. So, like, for example, not knowing where the butts will end up, who will get the butts in their seats, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you're doing an outreach together, not knowing that those people will come to your church rather than another church, right?
Yeah.
That is not one of these legitimate reasons.
Right.
What's it called?
That one's not a reason.
I'm saying that is not a legitimate reason. Have I heard it as a reason? Yes.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to work with them because they might steal my people.
Exactly.
Kind of
Yeah.
Not a good reason.
Not a good reason. No. Right. So that's a poor excuse. And we need to guard against that. We need to make sure that it's not based off of a scarcity mindset.
It's not a popularity contest. Yeah.
We can't be concerned about, you know, losing our flock or, and we should be more concerned about kingdom growth rather than just, is this going to impact our ministry specifically?
Right.
If you do an event together and 10 people get saved and plugged into a church, whether that is your church or not, that's a victory.
A success.
Yep. Right. And so we have to recognize that yep. that's not,
which is counter to our flesh.
Yes. No, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's one of the countercultural things and that, or upside down kingdom type things.
Yep. Absolutely.
That God just calls us to.
Exactly. Exactly. That can be counter wisdom. I'm putting quotes on that, because it's more of a worldly wisdom, like a business organizational leadership wisdom that really comes more from the man's mindset.
In the business world mindset,
where a lot of things that Jesus teaches, like you said, it's countercultural, upside down, right? Yep. And so that's one of those things to where we need to guard against that. And sometimes we will be doing things that others would say, well, this is stupid.
Yeah.
This is a poor use of resources or whatnot. You're not helping your organization grow in this way. It's not about just our specific organization. It's the kingdom.
It's about the kingdom.
And so
the kingdom is our main organization.
Exactly.
Our umbrella organization.
Right.
So to speak.
Exactly. And I know this is hard. because this is a hard one to chew on.
Oh, I'm excited. What are we talking about here? I don't even know what he's going to say.
No,
guys.
It's just because you said that, like how the kingdom is our umbrella organization. Yeah. We should be more concerned with the success of the umbrella organization than our own micro organization within it. Even to the point of if killing our micro organization means it's better for the umbrella organization, that we would be willing to do that. And so
that's a hard one.
And that's a hard one to take.
I've never been faced with that, so I can't say that I would handle that really well. Mm-hmm. But that would be that'd be a difficult thing.
But I mean, it literally is. I mean, that is a Abraham laying down Isaac type.
I do see that happen though. A lot of times, older churches that have been around a long time, maybe they weren't doing as well, and they're slowly dwindled. And then a new church comes in, and they accept them as sharing a building or whatever.
Yep.
And then eventually it's like, well, we might have to let go of this, of what we had, and join forces because, we're going somewhere new and it's working and we're actually building the kingdom there.
Yeah.
And that's, I've seen that happen, and I know that's probably really hard.
It is hard.
For the people that are part of what was.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, but kudos, like I really, really want to encourage and thank churches that have done that.
Yeah, it takes a certain level of humility.
Absolutely.
A high level of humility to go through something like that.
Absolutely. And again, a high level of that mindset. It's not about us and holding on to what we had, where we were. And I mean, that's so, so healthy, so good to be able to do that and really pass those
things on. I pray
that
I'm able to do that as I get older.
Yeah.
And need to pass things on to the next generation or whatever. Exactly. That's often what that is a passive generation.
Yep.
Exactly. I pray that I'm like that when I'm older.
Right.
I'm already kind of get close. So
hopefully starting I'm like to, that somewhat starting to get now. The grays. Yeah. what's it called? So with that, there might be some other ones that pop up, but I just kind of wanted to throw that out there first. There's counterfeits. There's counterfeits out there.
There's people out there just trying to get money, maybe, which is, I mean, that's a lot of people's problem with the church is misuse of funds.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's usually specific organizations that have caused those bad tastes in their mouth. And so we need to be aware that those exist.
Exactly.
And we need to use discernment.
Yeah.
And be like, am I going to support this? And we talked about this in the last one about fruit and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And that's usually the best. I put that down. Like, if we're not seeing a lot of fruit from an organization, you might consider whether that organization is actually following Christ well.
Yeah. 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 And I would have to say also, I mean, with that, when we look at fruit, look at the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Not the fruit of business matrix.
Not just how many people they have.
Yes, exactly.
Or anything like that. It's like, what else is coming out of that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because it can be very small.
Oh, yeah.
Church having very good fruit or other organization.
Exactly.
Yeah. They don't have to. Size is not a direct relation to fruit.
Exactly. Yeah. Which unfortunately, that tends to be our default nowadays is that that's what we look
just
at.
Just go off of size.
Yeah. We go off of size.
Butts and seats.
Exactly. But that is not success.
It can be part of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I would also say that a smaller group can be a part of success. Like taking a church of 100 down to 40 can end up being a part of success.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's God pruning and getting rid of, right? And it's
right. And so what's the, I like what you said. Yeah. It's like the spiritual fruit is what you're looking
yeah,
for.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. This is that fruit of the Spirit. And you know, how is the kingdom moving? And that can be, you know, out in the community.
Are people's lives being changed?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. But yeah, those counterfeits, Paul talks about it. Mm-hmm. And you will hear us reference Paul a lot. One of the authors in the New Testament wrote multiple books in the New Testament. The majority of it, I want to say, like a third of it or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So not
letters.
Yeah. But yeah, he wrote about a third of it, and he ended up talking a lot about unity within the church.
Mm-hmm.
But he also
He also warns.
He did, right?
A lot of warnings.
He did. Yeah. He did a lot of warnings. And he talks about, there's a couple of times where he mentions not to associate with these people, to, you know, stay away from these people and those kinds of things. And one of those is in 1 Corinthians 11:19. I feel like this is a good kind of overarching thought that comes into play with these other ones that we can reference of his. But 1 Corinthians 11:19, he talks about how, I hear there's factions among you, and I believe it because there, it's necessary, he says, that there's factions among you in some sense, so that those who are genuine may be,
stand out.
Yeah. Right. And so that you can tell who's genuine and who's counterfeit.
Yeah.
And so with that,
and unfortunately we live in a world right now that is highly becoming more and more counterfeit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's just so much fake whatever out there, and AI is making that even more challenging to see the difference of what's, I mean, there's AI pastors now.
Right.
I've been seeing.
Oh man.
It's just, and they could be right. They could still be good. Depending on who's coding them.
Right.
Or doing the prompts, but also we got to be careful.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So some of those things that, I mean, he talks about, that Paul highlights, earlier within that same chapter, he talks about people being contentious, like wanting to fight and rebuttal, especially what he's saying. So we would say people who are pushing back against the word and apostolic teaching and whatnot. Apostolic teaching meaning the teaching of the apostles, the Bible.
Yeah, yeah, the ones who were with Jesus and heard what he said.
Exactly. Yeah. So not whoever calls himself an apostle and or is called an apostle and what they say, but apostolic teaching as in what's in the word. And so you have this idea of people pushing back and arguing against that, being, I want to say facetious, but contentious is the word that he uses. And then 1 Corinthians 13, he talks about how really it all comes back to love, right? And so if we're seeing a lack of love within another ministry.
Yeah, you can even be casting out demons. You can even be doing a lot of the things that Jesus did. But he said, if you don't have love.
Exactly. Right.
You're not on the same team.
Exactly. And so these are just kind of some warning signs to be aware of, you know, that that combative behavior with the word of God, that and authority. Because that's one of those things that is there with Paul talking about,
you know, being contentious. Like lack of accountability.
Accountability.
Like
absolutely.
If you're looking at an organization, they have no accountability structure at all.
And they won't
question that a little bit.
Yeah. And they refuse to kind of come into accountability with peers because they don't see anybody as their peer.
Right. Yes. I am much more righteous.
That's a concern.
That is a concern.
That not loving. In 1 Corinthians 5:11, he talks about Christians that are persisting in immoral behavior. And so if we know, and this one can get kind of gray.
Right. Because there is a lot of grace.
Right.
But if it's this like consistent, like not really showing a lot of repentance, then
look, if the pastor is sleeping around
and
continuing to sleep around,
I wouldn't support that.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Like just don't do it. I will go out on a limb and say, don't do it. Yeah.
You'll go out on a limb.
So yeah, like that consisting and immoral behavior, the pastor's stealing a bunch of money.
Yeah.
You know,
hitting and it's people, all lack of accountability. Right.
Yeah. And again, that kind of comes back to that lack of accountability. But if you're seeing this persistent immoral behavior from other people that you're considering partnering with, other ministries, cause maybe like it's an organization thing to where they're, then you need to consider not working with them, I would say, especially with some of these things. I would say don't do it.
And I say we should actually go through the process that we've talked about, I think, a couple episodes ago, of dealing with you know, sin in the church.
Yeah.
And how we do that, like the going to them and, yep. And confronting them and being like this, and it's a one-on-one thing.
Yeah.
And then you bring it to the church as a whole. And that would be a good process to go through if you're willing.
Yeah. Well, and especially,
but we also don't need to support it. In the interim.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, and yeah. And in the interim, as you're working through that, I mean, that's a great process. If you have question, you're thinking about working with another ministry, partnering mm-hmm. in some type of event or ministry with others. And you have some concerns about this idea of whether or not they're walking in love, whether or not they have that accountability, and they're contentious with authority and accountability in the word of God, mm-hmm. whether or not they're persisting in moral behavior. The other one, denying the power of godliness, meaning they're pretty much, that's going back to them living immoral lives and practicing immoral behaviors. If you're seeing these things and you have questions about that, then what you just brought up, that mm-hmm. that way of dealing with conflict, offense, mm-hmm. Sinful behavior within the church is a great way to do this.
Yeah, because technically, even if you're not in that organization with them, we are in the Big C Church with
exactly.
them.
Exactly. And that's so where, like, I feel like you should, can handle that.
In a way, like if we feel like we're able to or equipped to,
mm-hmm.
and even if we don't feel equipped to, I think God can help us with that.
Yeah.
But we should try to do those things.
Yeah.
If we see something that we feel like is completely off
yeah.
from what God is calling all of us to.
Exactly. Well, and I mean, think about it. If you're talking about partnering with another ministry mm-hmm. and doing certain things, if you can't get a one-on-one with, like, you're the leader of one ministry and you can't get a one-on-one with the other leader mm-hmm. to talk about some of this stuff, some of these concerns before partnering, then that's probably not a ministry you want to work with anyway.
Right.
You can't get together and talk.
Yeah. If they're not willing to talk to you.
And then
that's a red flag.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And then what's it called? If you're able to get together and talk, and as the process goes, you know, they're not seeing eye to eye with you, then you can bring in a few other ministry yeah, leaders in the community and talk about that with, you know, two or three other ministry leaders in the community, all as a group. Again, yeah. if they're not willing to come to the table on that, then you lovingly step back.
Yeah.
Right. And I say lovingly because this, what you don't need to do.
Yeah.
Is.
I was going to go there too. I'm like, this is what we don't need to do.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Because the thing that we don't do is skip that. Right.
Uh-huh.
And then just go start bad mouthing that organization.
Exactly.
Right? That's where the unity piece still comes into play. Like
yeah.
we can not work with someone and still not trash them either.
Exactly.
Especially if we're not willing to go through that process.
Yeah.
Now, if you go through that process, you know, because I'll just briefly go through it again. It's the one-on-one meeting first.
Yep.
And if you can't see eye to eye, you bring in those other leaders yep. or the other ministry people. And if you can't see eye to eye, you bring it to a bigger body of yep. the church. And if it's still, and if everybody agrees except for that person or that group,
yeah.
Then it's like, then it says you could treat them like a pagan or a tax collector.
Yeah.
So it's that process though. If you don't go through that process, you mm-hmm. have no right to go to the end.
Yes, exactly.
And just totally bash them
yep.
either, because you don't know, you haven't done the work to know what the underlying issues actually
exactly,
are.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. And then even in the end, like, you go through all of that, right? If you go through all that process and you're at that place of, okay, now we're going to treat them like a pagan or a tax collector, that would mean do not partner with them. Right.
Yeah.
Do not partner with them. But that doesn't mean it has to be your, it's now not your crusade to go
yes, to
and
destroy.
Make to destroy their yeah. reputation and turn right. everyone against them. And
well, you gotta be careful, right? Because then
yeah.
you could get pulled into doing the enemy's work.
Exactly. Exactly.
By letting those kind of things.
But
we are there is a call to bring people to accountability too.
Yeah. Yeah. And so going through that process really helps with that, right?
Yeah.
Cause you're doing that with other ministry leaders in the community.
Yeah.
And so all of these other ministry leaders, all of these other believers that you're walking through this with are seeing that lack of accountability and them, you know, being yeah. unrepentant over something.
And that actually probably doesn't happen enough.
That doesn't.
And that's where unity, we can really bring in the unity piece of this.
Absolutely.
Is that we don't, as a Big C church, get together enough and help correct some of the wrongs within
yes.
the Big C church.
Yeah.
Because it's hard.
Yeah, that's hard work. But that is what we call the ministry of reconciliation as well, which we are called to. So definitely walking through that. So that's one of the reasons why we wouldn't want to work with another church. And then I have like three or four other ones. Do you have one?
Well, I think we already hit, kind of the main, mine was no accountability structure.
Yep.
No fruit was one of them. Like if we're just not seeing anything and, in that way. And we talked about how the difference is spiritual and just people. I put maybe no clear vision or strategy. It might be a reason to not support an organization. Like if they don't have any idea where they're going or what they're trying to do, it might be wasted effort.
Yeah, yeah.
No. But that can also be talked through.
Yeah.
That might be a reason if they're to help encourage them to find those
things. Exactly. Yeah. I was going to say maybe that
not necessarily like, yeah, to help it's not with necessarily that. Like just don't work with them.
Yeah.
It's like, well, how can I help it from help them find that?
Yeah. It's more like, okay, we need to have a clear vision and strategy before we move forward.
Yeah.
So I'm willing to help, but we need to get this done.
Yeah. I need to know what the purpose is.
Exactly.
Where's the why?
Yeah.
If you don't have a why, it's really hard to support anything.
Exactly. Absolutely. One of mine that really tags on with the last one is when you're uncomfortable referring people to them. So if you're uncomfortable referring someone.
Well, then the question is, why are you uncomfortable?
Yes, right? Exactly. Why? Like, and that's why I say it really tags on to that last one. Because
it's like, what do I need to do to figure out why I'm uncomfortable with that?
Exactly.
And maybe it's discernment of the spirit. And
maybe it's discernment. Conversations and it literally could be that. You know, you just don't know them well enough.
Yeah.
And maybe you need to get to know them.
Right.
Because all you have is, you know, words of what you've heard other people say, you know, what denomination they're part of or whatnot. And you're not sure about that. And so
you can't trust that either.
Yeah. Right.
Because some people will badmouth don't go through that process and will badmouth an organization because they perceived something as being wrong.
Exactly.
And so we have our perception based on what we've heard versus what is actually true.
Yeah.
And so we should seek our own clarification.
Absolutely. I know something that me and Christina committed to really early when stepping into ministry was we will never base our opinion on people off of others' interactions. Mm. It's always going to be also off of our interaction with them.
Yeah.
How we treat them and our opinion on them is going to be based off of our personal interactions with them.
Which is good because I think it can be dangerous.
If you put yourself out there.
So you want to do the work.
Yeah.
But it also does show like the grace of God because even though someone may have done something terrible and had an issue at their previous place that they might be in God might have redeemed that.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we need to have that openness.
Yep. Exactly. And I mean that. It, especially if you're willing to not be cautious, right? Mm-hmm. If you're just like, oh, I know this person said you stole all their money, but I'm just going to give you the purse.
Yeah,
like,
I wouldn't do that.
No, I'm sorry. I don't give my kid the purse. I'm not giving you the purse.
Yeah. Right.
So
when it comes to anything financial, you want to do a good job of, vetting first anyway,
exactly.
Even if they have no history.
Right. Exactly. So it's some of those things to where, you want to proceed with caution either way. Right. Mm-hmm. And that goes the opposite way as well. You can't just be like, oh, these people told me you're somebody I can trust. And so I'm going to disregard all caution that I would normally have.
Yeah.
And go based off of that. No, we're going to start building our relationship.
Yeah,
right.
Have a conversation.
So, and sometimes you'll meet people and you're just like, you click and it's like, hey, We're brothers. Yeah. I feel like I can trust you.
Yeah, sometimes God will give us the discernment.
Yeah.
Like we don't always have to go through the whole, a whole long process.
Right.
Sometimes you can get a really good sense of it. But
yeah.
That can be, we can be wrong too.
Exactly. But what's it called? Relationship is willing to take a risk.
Like, yeah.
That's what relationship and love is. So what's it called? Another one that I put down is when doctrine will take center stage. And now I feel like this also means we need to question whether or not doctrine needs to take center stage. Right. Because sometimes we'll make doctrine center stage when it's not necessary.
Yeah.
And at certain events or come togethers or whatnot, like we'll make it a big deal when it really doesn't need to be.
Yeah. I like the kind of core belief structure idea as far as unity goes. Like
exactly.
We have these core beliefs like Jesus was the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
He died for our sins, rose from the dead. Like those are those core things that we're like, okay, I'm going to work with people that believe that.
Exactly.
But then there's like the other things that are less core, that aren't salvation oriented, that you're like, can we do an event together and not really, we don't have to really bring those up.
Exactly.
Because the event has nothing to do with that.
Exactly.
The event is salvation based.
Right.
Right.
And so if it is something to where you're recognizing, you can foresee, you guys know that doctrine is going to be an issue. Mm-hmm. And there's disagreement on there, then that could be. It doesn't even necessarily have to be, because it could be that you guys are able to present things in a way where it's not saying this is how it has to be, right. And you're showing, you know, various viewpoints or whatnot. But if doctrine is going to take center stage, again, I'd question, does it have to? And if it is going to take center stage, then that may be cause to step back if there's disalignment. Because what you don't want is
a fight.
Is a fight. Exactly.
In the public view.
Exactly.
Where you're just showing disunity. And it's not helpful.
It's not
edifying to the church in that way. So.
Yeah. So.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Right. And so. So that doesn't mean make doctrine center stage. So you don't
have to, have to work with anybody. So we're going to do all of our events like this. And if you guys don't agree, I'm sorry.
Right, exactly. That's why I say you really have to consider whether or not that's necessary.
Yeah.
I think I might get myself in trouble saying this. But I'm just going to say it. I'm going to say it anyway.
Every time you say it, I'm going to get myself in trouble. This is a conversation. If you can't see me, I'm rubbing my hands together.
This is not the final word.
What's coming next? Preach.
Conversation, not the final word. I could be completely wrong. Let's have a conversation about it, right?
Yeah.
But I'm going to venture to say that the more mature you become spiritually, the less important and central your distinctive denominations become or doctrines become.
Yeah.
The more, you know, mature you become, closer you are in following Christ and in your beliefs and, you know, sound and whatnot, then the less central and pillar kind of those distinctive doctrines become. And I always look at Jesus on the cross and his interaction with the apostles and his interaction with the thief. The thief gets me every time. The thief gets me every time, because the thief makes this simple confession of wrong, acknowledgement of him being king and the Messiah.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, you're going to be with me in paradise.
Right. You're like, what?
Right. Like, but wait, aren't we going to ask him about, you know,
he didn't get baptized.
He didn't get baptized. we didn't see, you know, him pray the sinner's prayer. We didn't see, you know, him answer these questions about doctrine. Was he a Sadducee or was he a Pharisee? Was he?
Is that just that maybe as we get older, we recognize more and more the grace of God?
I think that plays a big piece of it. Absolutely.
It might be.
I think that plays a huge role in that, because to me, that's just one of the most incredible, beautiful pictures of we tend to get all tied up in so much and so many theological questions and answers. And Jesus is just like, it's just me and you, relationship.
Yeah.
Right. And just that split moment, like, wow. Wow.
Yeah, it's hard to reconcile with everything, the thief specifically.
Yeah.
All the religious practice that we put on ourselves.
Right. Well, and then, I mean, and the reason I bring up the apostles too is because you see, I mean, all the way to the day of his ascension, they're getting it wrong. Constantly correcting them. And they have this view of how things are supposed to go and the way things are supposed to be. Yeah. And he's correcting them literally to the day of his ascension.
Yeah.
And
when Peter even denies him, right?
Right.
And still becomes the rock of the church.
So it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing how we can, you know, make doctrine, our distinctive doctrines, so pivotal, so central. And we don't see that in Jesus's interactions with his apostles or this thief. Or so it's like, man, I understand a lot of times how those things work. They're coming yeah. from a good place and coming from interpretations in scripture. But sometimes I think we make them more central.
Well, we are called to righteousness, right?
Yeah.
So we need guidelines.
Absolutely.
Towards that.
Absolutely.
But are they, do those guidelines have the restrictions that we put with yeah, them?
Exactly.
Like, do they box us into like not being able to make a mistake?
Right.
Or yeah, all that.
Yeah.
Like, we should be desiring it and pursuing it.
Yeah.
And we need it yeah. for that purpose.
Exactly.
So it's not completely unnecessary.
No.
But then there is like the grace of God that can just override all of it.
Everything.
With the thief on the cross. Like, he overrode it all.
Right. What's it called? He didn't take the sacraments. He didn't do the baptism. He didn't do confessions and like.
He may have confessed.
He made a confession. I wonder if right?
Yeah, that might have been it.
And it's just
But yeah, a lot of the other stuff he didn't do.
Right. And so it's amazing to think how we tend to build all of these different things as pivotal, you know, how you, not whether or not you're practicing communion, but how you're doing it and your specific beliefs on it. Yeah. Baptism, same thing. The Holy Spirit and our interaction with him and how you dress and and what you listen to and or like how you worship, music, no music, and all mm-hmm. these. It will make so many different things so pivotal. The structure of your government within your church will make pivotal.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't see any of this with Jesus and these instances, right? And so... Yeah.
And sometimes he came against those things.
Right. So that's a scary thought.
Not to go into a different topic.
Right. Oh, man. Okay. We need to wrap this up. Yeah. We need to wrap this up. So, yeah, when doctrine will take center stage, mm-hmm. that may be a reason. And then two more. One, you kind of already touched on, when it takes more than you can give. And so not necessarily a matter of kind of, we've made mention of, is this going to, we're investing $1,000. Is this going to bring someone new into the church? Is $1,000 going to break you? That's the question. Not whether or not it's going to bring someone into your church, but is $1,000 going to break you? Cause if it's going to break your organization, then yeah, you shouldn't do it. That's just, you know,
right.
Being,
that's just
being poor stewardship. Yeah.
Well, and I think you can ask God for that.
Yeah.
Like, God, is this,
if this is what you want us to do, we're going to do it. Yeah.
And I feel like if God is telling you no, it could be a no.
Exactly. Right.
Like, he might say like, no, you do this other thing mm-hmm. with that mm-hmm. resource.
Exactly. And I would also say, I mean, your number one resource, as a ministry is going to be your people. Right. And it's just, mm-hmm. just more than they can take. Like, is right. there more going on? Too much
out
going out. We don't want to burn
doing too much.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the last one I have in here is when the flesh is weak. That is a bad time. That is maybe a reason not to work with others. And what I mean by that is
like when your own is.
Yeah. Like when you may be putting yourself in a situation that would end up causing you spiritual harm or your people spiritual harm. If I have an AA group,
mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna, I likely am not going to say, yeah, let's partner up and go do some witnessing. Yeah. Down at the bars.
Right. I was thinking the other one, like, if you have a lust issue, like don't go.
Yeah. No, that
was absolutely partner with the group that's going to the
strip clubs.
Yeah. Try to talk to the women, you know?
Right. Yeah. So when the flesh is weak, that's a good line to draw and say, okay, we can't,
that's good.
We can't partner there.
Well, what is that? There's a verse that they use in CR, Celebrate Recovery.
Uh-huh.
It's like, how am I going to forget how it goes? It's basically summed up as, help others unless you feel like it's going as long as you can.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless you will be tempted.
Exactly.
I can't remember what the verse is.
Yeah. Yeah.
You yourself may also be tempted.
Exactly.
And so don't put yourself in a fail situation.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm going to throw a curveball to close with.
Okay.
Too. I'm just going to throw a curveball out there to close with, just cause I have this noted down. So we mentioned, when you are uncomfortable referring people to them, that's one not to partner with. The curveball on that, Matthew 23:1-3, Jesus tells the people, listen to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, because they sit in the seat of Moses and do what they tell you to do.
Mm.
Just don't do what they do.
Oh, do what they say, not what they do.
Yeah. Literally, do as they say, not as they do moment. And he's telling the people to listen to them. Like he's respecting their authority.
He's saying they have the head knowledge. Yeah. They know the word.
Yeah.
They're just not putting it into practice.
Exactly.
Yeah. And what they're saying is good.
Uh-huh.
And how often do we do that? Oh my gosh.
Wow. So like that's a curveball, especially when it comes to this, right? Especially when it comes to the idea of when you're uncomfortable referring people to them, like that, that's a whole nother level. Jesus, we're gonna have to talk about that. So y'all talk about that with Jesus.
can you still submit to an authority that you don't trust?
Yeah.
Boy, that's tough.
Wow. But I'm telling you, we have been caught up over the past couple decades with leadership as like the goal in this pivotal beauty. And it's a beautiful practice. I'm a leadership nerd. Love it. But we've caught up with that as the main goal. Creating and making good leaders and people being leaders. And I believe that we should be more focused on being good followers. That doesn't sound pretty. That's not sexy. Like, I'll just say it, but followership, I think, plays a bigger role in the kingdom than leadership does.
Well, following precedes leading.
It does.
So we always use this terminology, follow me as I follow Christ.
Exactly.
So you can't follow me as I follow Christ if I'm not following Christ.
Yeah. And if I'm not a good follower.
So I have to be a good follower of Christ to make that claim.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think so often there is this struggle there with, like you said, can we submit and follow a leader that we don't necessarily... And so my question would be, and that just the practice of followership, and are you a good follower, a courageous follower, a godly follower, a Jesus follower? Like Jesus is the best follower.
Yes.
He was absolutely. And nobody's going to argue whether or not he's the best leader. Maybe some people maybe argue, but then you need to go study, because hands down, Jesus is the greatest leader in world history. Right. But you can look at his life and say he was also the best follower. And so
could be also called disciple.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's exactly what it is. Yeah.
We had something called the leadership square.
Yeah.
Which was you take people through levels of leadership.
Yeah.
But first it was discipleship.
Yeah.
So you can't be a higher leader
mm-hmm.
than you are a disciple.
Yeah.
You can't lead people to somewhere you aren't at.
Yeah.
Right. Which is true.
Yeah.
Like you can't lead people somewhere you're not going yourself. Yeah. And so your discipleship has to come first, which exactly. is the following.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's close this bad boy up. We're out of time here. Any final thoughts?
No, this is good.
That's good. All right. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come together. And we pray that you really would just bless this conversation. Let it continue on. Help us, Father, to be wise in partnering with others, that we would seek collaboration. We would seek partnership. We would seek to be in unity and to practice, to walk in your kingdom in unity and move your kingdom forward in unity. But we would also do it with wisdom, and that you would give us discernment and help us, Father, to not pursue unity at all costs, but to pursue unity in a way that honors and reflects you. We thank you so much. We want to be first and foremost in unity with you. And so help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the In Hope podcast. Hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Remember, we want you to be part of the conversation. So comment, like, share, and follow. Also, we want you to consider being a ministry partner with us. For as little as $2 a month, you can help continue this podcast and other ministries that teach about unity and invest in collaborative efforts. Connect with us via social media throughout the week, and we look forward to seeing you next week on Monday on the In Hope podcast.